Hello there, welcome to the program. A major Chinese company won't get to bid for an Australian mobile phone contract because intelligence agencies warn of a risk to national security. But could the Chinese government be using more subtle ways to influence local culture, including the churches?
The word spying was actually used by a pastor to me. I didn't kind of invent that word. And what he meant by that was that there are people within the congregation who he knows will report back to authorities within, say, the Chinese consulate. This was in Sydney. What's going on in the congregation? Who's doing what?
Serious allegations from the author of a controversial book. This is the Religion and Ethics Report. I'm Andrew West. And it's China Week here on RN. And later in the program, you'll hear from a Chinese-Australian youth leader who challenges the popular ideas of careerism and consumerism in his community. But first...
Friends, God is calling life out of the dark, formless places in our world.
Our Sunday services are held in the main auditorium, and they usually run for 90 minutes. You can expect to experience amazing worship and hear dynamic teaching that is relevant to your life.
My personal faith, Mr. Speaker, in Jesus Christ is not a political agenda. In recent times, it has become fashionable to negatively stereotype those who profess their Christian faith in public life as extreme.
That's just a taste of the worship style you'll hear at Horizon Church, a 2,000-strong Pentecostal congregation in southern Sydney that often includes Australia's new Prime Minister, Scott Morrison. And you heard a little of the PM referring to his faith. Well, on the Religion and Ethics Report, we certainly don't characterise public faith as extreme. But Scott Morrison is the first Prime Minister to come from the Pentecostal tradition, and that is worth exploring. Pentecostalism is a fast-growing Christian denomination. It's very plugged into popular culture, and it's very multicultural. Dr. Ian Tregenza is an expert in politics and new religions at Macquarie University.
Pentecostalism is a particular expression of the Christian faith. I think it's fair to say it's long been sort of marginalised and perhaps misunderstood, but it's increasingly coming into the mainstream and has an increasing influence in Australian Christianity. Mm. And what's distinctive about it, I suppose, in particular, is its open, modern style of worship, an openness to things like the expression of the Spirit, contemporary music, very contemporary style of worship, and also it's very much sort of open to the world, engaged in the world, and believers are encouraged to participate in the world outside the church and to take their faith into society.
Yeah. But it's very expressive and it's very based on feeling, though, isn't it?
It is very much based on feeling. It's about encountering God and having an experience of what they call the Spirit or the Holy Spirit. It's not so caught up on things like doctrine, unlike other, say, forms of evangelicalism, which are very sort of strongly focused on Scripture. Pentecostals would take Scripture or do take Scripture very seriously, but they are very much focused on experience and feeling in worship. Yep.
Scott Morrison, as a regular attender of the Horizon Church down in the Sutherland Shire, would he have been part of services where, for example, they spoke in tongues?
I imagine so. I mean, this is a very common feature of Pentecostalism, speaking in tongues, praying for healing, you know, and what they call the spiritual gifts, which if you want to trace it all the way back, it's talked about in the book of Acts in the Bible, and it was revived really in the 20th century.
Ian, you've spoken there about, if you like, the outward expression of Pentecostalism that Scott Morrison embraces. But let's talk, though, about the theology and where that might influence him. Even though Scott Morrison says, look, the Bible is not my policy handbook, and Scott Morrison's pastor has said, we're not getting in his ear every second day about policy, surely there's going to be a theological worldview that will influence Scott Morrison if it hasn't already. What would that Pentecostal theological worldview be?
Pentecostals are quite socially conservative, much more socially conservative than many other mainstream or mainline Protestant churches. The thing about Pentecostalism is that it's quite relaxed on doctrinal matters. It doesn't sort of really get caught up in them in the way that some other Christian, particularly Protestant, perhaps Catholic denominations do. They would believe in traditional or orthodox forms of doctrine, the physical resurrection of Christ, you know, atonement for sins, these sorts of things. So pretty mainstream or pretty orthodox in that regard. But as I say, the emphasis is much more on the experience rather than the doctrine.
There is a lot of evidence, though, that they also believe in an idea of the prosperity gospel, the idea that if you're wealthy, that is a sign of God's blessing. Now, that's very political.
That's true. It is very political. I mean, yes, Pentecostalism does have this prosperity doctrine. There's no doubt that it's an important part of many expressions of Pentecostalism. But that in some ways is an outworking of the idea that Christians ought to be engaged in the world and engaged in business and engaged in wealth creation. It's part of that sort of fairly open expression of the faith in many ways. And I think some Pentecostals would probably pull back a little bit from some of the more extreme expressions of the prosperity gospel that we've heard about.
I mean, Brian Houston, the head of the Hillsong Church, now an international network, famously wrote a book, and he did express some regret about the title, but the book was You Need More Money.
Yes.
So, yes. I mean, what does that say about how Pentecostalism might influence Scott Morrison's political ideology when it comes to tax or...
Yes, well, obviously that view of the world is very consistent with, you know, Liberal Party free market philosophy. There's no doubt about that. So you're probably not going to get much defence, say, of traditional forms of welfare, although I think Scott Morrison has some interest in questions of welfare, but he would say, as many liberals would say, you know, the best form of welfare is a job and making your own way in the world and this sort of thing.
The other issue for which Scott Morrison is most well known is the hardline stance that he took on immigration, particularly asylum seekers. Would Pentecostalism have had some influence on his thinking there?
A lot of that has to do with Scott Morrison's personality. I mean, he's a very forthright, very confident sort of character. He has a background in business. He's the sort of guy who, you know, wants to get things done. And I think probably those aspects of his background and his personality are probably more important than his Pentecostal faith.
Of course, the biggest critics of Scott Morrison's position on asylum seekers were Australia's faith leaders. I think most of them almost unanimously criticised the decision to offshore, send asylum seekers offshore, put them in pretty tough conditions overseas. Why do you think he hasn't listened to them then? And that includes, I think, the Australian Christian lobby, a very conservative group, but they've also criticised his position on asylum seekers.
I suppose it's fair to say that Pentecostal Christians haven't been some of the stronger voices criticising the government's refugee policy. So perhaps you could say that there's perhaps not much in the Pentecostal background that is going to make him a critic of a hard line on refugees. I think that he just took a view that he had a particular role in the government and he had to implement that fairly hardline policy, which, of course, was backed up by, you know, Tony Abbott and others at the time.
In recent months, Ian, there's been a lot of reportage about the active recruitment that some sections of the Liberal Party, particularly in Victoria, have made among conservative religious communities, among the LDS or Mormon Church, other evangelical churches. Are we seeing the development of an American-style religious right, very active in Australian politics?
I think it's probably is growing. I think, however, it can be overstated. You know, the so-called religious right in Australia is really nothing like the American, which has a very widespread grassroots base and has had for 20 years or more, and it makes a huge impact on American politics. There's no doubt, I think, that some of those Christian groups have perhaps picked up some of the lessons, some of the strategy from the United States. I think there's an element of that. But I still think that the influence of the religious right in Australia is perhaps exaggerated or can be exaggerated.
Dr. Ian Tregenza of Macquarie University. And on our website, you'll hear the audio of Scott Morrison's inaugural speech where he discusses his faith. Two things to note this week. A former Vatican official has accused Pope Francis of ignoring warnings about the behaviour of the disgraced American Cardinal Theodore McCarrick. Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano claims the Pope knew about allegations of sexual abuse by McCarrick, but didn't move against him until recently. The Pope's defenders say that Archbishop Vigano is a long-time ideological opponent of Francis, is obsessed with homosexuality, and was himself accused of ignoring allegations of clerical sex abuse. We'll explore this deepening conspiracy in a future program. And the Australian Catholic Church is due to release its response this week to the recommendations of the Child Sexual Abuse Royal Commission, and we'll look at that as soon as possible. And this is the Religion and Ethics Report.